Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel. This video is about what happened in Georgia just a few days ago. The Republic of Georgia, not the state of Georgia. Well, the results came in from the parliamentary elections, and this was closely fought and closely fraught. And the long and the short of it is the ruling Georgian Dream Party, they won, and they got 53.something% of the vote. They say this is a valid election. Now, the president, Salome Zurabishvili, she supports the opposition, and she says that this is bogus. A lot of false votes were cast, valid votes were discounted, and so forth, and that the will of the people has been thwarted. Remember, Georgian Dream is committed to bringing Georgia into the European Union. Georgia was refused candidate status for the European Union in 2022, whereas Ukraine and Moldova were granted it on the same day. Candidate status, not full membership. To go from candidate status to full membership can take decades. Turkey's been a candidate since 1987. It was the European Economic Community back then. So Turkish talk has been frozen over supposedly its dictatorial path. Talks towards candidacy for Georgia have also been frozen. I was in Tbilisi a few months ago, the capital of Georgia, and the European Union's got a representative office. So there's no doubt a high majority of Georgians, up to 80%, would like to join. So Georgia is the very edge of Europe, bordering Russia, Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Turkey. It's on the Black Sea. Is one of the poorest countries in Georgia. It's bereft of natural resources. It's quite mountainous. It became independent in 1991, having been part of the Soviet Union and Russian Empire for centuries prior to that, having been part of the Persian Empire for centuries before that. So hadn't been independent for well over 1,000 years, despite having its own royal family. But why would they want to give up their independence now and join the European Union? Now, being in the European Union could be magnificent. They would get lots of money. They've got some money from the European Union already. They have the right to live and work anywhere in the European free trade area, not just the EU, but countries with free trade agreements with the European Union, such as Switzerland and Norway. So that's very appealing to them. They'd make a lot more money. They'd broaden their horizons and also believe they'd never be under the thumb of the Kremlin again. So real independence seems to be maybe impossible for a country of not quite 5 million people, which is not very wealthy. Therefore, if it has to be dominated by someone, let it be EU. And that would be voluntary. But so don't assume that all these votes for Georgian Dream are false. They have their genuine supporters, no question about that. Maybe not quite as many as we're told. So many European Union foreign ministers have issued a statement saying that they stand with Georgians at this challenging time, and they are demanding full investigations into the election. So Ursula von der Leyen, she's the president of the European Commission. She says that there are irregularities and these really need to be looked into. It might be a slight case of sour grapes from the Europhiles. I mean, I can believe that there was some bogus voting, but may not be on such a scale as to sway the election. Just because I don't like the result of the election and I dislike the outcome, that doesn't mean that it's untrue. This is a very childish thing. You know, if it's unpleasant, it's untrue. Not automatically, actually. So we go on. Now, President Zurabishvili, she was a French Georgian, and born in Paris to Georgian parents, a dual citizen, was even a French diplomat and France's ambassador to Georgia. So some Georgians say that she's not really Georgian, even though she speaks the language fluently. And she adamantly wants Georgia to accede to the European Union. But that path has been frozen for the foreseeable future. Relations very frosty with Russia for a while. Remember, Russia invaded in 1991, just after independence, caused the Georgian Civil War, assassinated their first president, Zviad Gamsakhurdia, a former dissident writer, being jailed in the Soviet era for speaking up for freedom as well as independence, which not automatically the same. And then after he was killed, Edvard Shevardnadze, the last Soviet foreign minister, he came in as president of Georgia. He signed a peace agreement with Russia. Remember, Russia's been illegally occupying two breakaway regions, Abkhazia and South Ossetia, since 1991. Russia turned the lights off because oil, gas, loads of things came from Russia. And I know a young Russian woman, well, not young anymore, who was born in Georgia at the time, said she was so cold, you know, had to warm up our fingers before playing the piano. It was horrific. So it's like the old Ukrainians saying they've got to choose between the television and the fridge. They choose the fridge. If you have to have your freedom of expression taken away and your democracy degraded, well, that's a small price to pay for being able to eat, having the heating and light on, having running water and all the rest of it. So things did improve under Shevardnadze, but it was still a somewhat post-Soviet style police state. He was kicked out, corruption was kicked out, and then they got their new pro-Western leader, but he's in jail right now. And then they began to seek to join the European Union, but I think that's decades off as it is. So this, for a while, this 2008, when Dmitry Medvedev became president of Russia, he invaded again. And this was during the Olympics, so much for the Olympic truce. Western countries were overstretched with Iraq and Afghanistan, didn't take firm action. Now, Russia could have taken the whole country. It was just a 10-day war. But anyway, so things have calmed down. There was dispute several years ago about Russian ultra-nationalist politicians making speeches in Georgia. There are actually very few ethnic Russians left in Georgia. They almost all left in the early 90s in the Civil War. Get out. But most people can speak Russian, certainly sort of my age or older, even if not fluently. Junior generation often not learning it. I'm impressed how much they're into learning English and other languages. When I was buying a railway ticket there years ago, the woman, her Western language was Spanish. So to do the transaction in Spanish, Spanish or French or German, one of those, trying to get native speakers even into village schools to teach it. Then Russia cancelled all flights between Georgia some years ago to hit them. It was a quite a big tourist destination. They're seen as sort of the Welsh of the former Soviet Union, meant to be outstanding singers. They were like, you know, only 2% of the population of the former Soviet Union, but much more than that, the singers, renowned for their wine and having a good time. Ooh, and for mass murderers like Stalin. But this result is probably not too far off the truth. Coalition for Change got 11%, and the Unity, they got 10%. Strong Georgia got 9%. For Georgia got 8%. Those four minor parties, they're all Europhile. Perhaps they shouldn't foolishly waste their efforts by having four separate parties. Could they merge? Now, there were some public relations people from Russia helping the pro-Kremlin elements out. Not necessarily actually going there. Was there illegal funding and things like that? The conservatism of Georgian dream, that does appeal to people, their sort of family values, their moralism, their puritanism, their homophobia, and their law against foreign agents. I mean, United Kingdom's got law against foreign agents. So does United States. It's not so stringent. If you're an agent of a foreign government, you have to register such blah, blah, blah. But Georgia's, this is civil society groups. They're still allowed to do it. They have to register and hand over this documentation. It does make their life a headache. But is it like Russia, which is sort of stealthily criminalizing organizations which receive any foreign funding? And it's hilarious that Russia jealously guards its own sovereignty while violating that of everybody else. I mean, I know the United States does the same. So there are mass demonstrations. I don't think the result's going to be overturned. And supposedly the eminence grise behind Georgian Dream is Bidvina Zorabashvili, this Georgian billionaire who made a fortune in Russia in the 90s, or 80s and 90s. And the average Georgian identifies with him because he grew up dirt poor. Got to remember, the Soviet Union was like poor compared to Western countries. And if you're outside Moscow and St. Petersburg, really poor, they say he was discalced as a child. So his rags to riches stories is attractive to many people. Anyway, I don't think it's going to be a revolution. Rub along. The Georgian dream is not that bad. It might become that bad. It's certainly good news for Putin, warmed the cockles of his heart, didn't quite manage it in Moldova. But the one thing about Moldova is, because the referendum to join the European Union was passed by a wafer-thin majority, the European Union might just say no. I remember when Montenegro was allowed, was going to vote whether it wanted independence or not, the European Union said, we'll only recognize this if it's over 55%. It can't be very close. In the end, it was 55.1%. That was acceptable. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, George Callahan at 79, sorry, George Callahan 79 at gmail.com. Bye.